Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sean, and I am so glad to welcome you to episode number 26 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. It is Saturday, October 29th, 2016, and tomorrow, October 30th, 2016, is Hell in a Cell, the WWE Raw brand pay-per-view, and we have all of our predictions and expectations for the big show here tomorrow night. It's coming up, and it's coming up next here live on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And now the moment you've waited for, live from Cleveland, Ohio, Big T. Go Tribe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this historic episode number 26 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Big T. Another thank you again to my co-host, Sean, for the wonderful introduction, and not only for the wonderful introduction, but Sean actually sent me an early Halloween present here, and I couldn't be more thankful, taking a look at this. It's something that I can't wait to dive into and read all of it. Look at that. Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500.
There it is.
So there you go. That's the magazine you want to look for on store shelves if you're looking for the PWI 500. There it is. And Sean, I just want to tell you, between that and the card and everything, thank you. I appreciate it.
Amen. It's the least I could do for all the great opportunities we've had here on the show. Just wanted to say thanks and, brighten up your Halloween, give you a little pumpkin spice of a Halloween, you know?
Well, I definitely appreciate it, and I'll be definitely diving in to get that pumpkin spice iced latte for sure.
I suggest everyone do that, and I suggest everyone go out and buy PW Insider Top 500 Wrestlers of 2016 with none other than Roman Reigns, God of India, on the cover.
Yeah, as fans like to say, but I want to show something to everybody here with how important it is to the podcast. If you missed our last podcast, and I hope you didn't, I hope you guys actually got to see it. If not, I'll link it down below. Let me try to find this here. Where is it? I'm almost there. We had the privilege on, let's see, Wednesday, on Sean's birthday, actually, to interview a wrestler. Let's see, that is number, I can't see on the camera here. Wait, there we go. Where is it? Where is it?
364.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, 364. Mr. Sean Maluda, right there. As you can see his name. His picture's not here, but there's his name, Sean Maluda. And we had the pleasure of interviewing him on Sean's birthday this past Wednesday night. So, number 364 in the world. If you want to see his interview. And believe me, it's a history-making interview. And Sean Maluda is such a nice, humble guy, to sit down and take the time with us like he did. And absolutely incredible. That's an interview that I will remember for a lifetime. I really will. And I hope, Sean, that it made your birthday special. And tonight, yeah, no Mountain Dew products here tonight. Drink that earlier. Now for tonight's episode, I'm gonna be drinking Deer Park water.
Very cool.
So, I'm gonna crack this bad boy open.
Well, man, we were talking about history, you know, a historic podcast here on my birthday this past Wednesday. But this Hell in a Cell is shaping up to be quite the historic and controversial pay-per-views of WWE history, and we're about to dive into it here. Man, it's gonna be a big one. I got a brand new big screen TV that I'm gonna watch it on. I've been thinking about that. I'm like, wow, it's perfect timing. I'm gonna get to see Hell in a Cell tomorrow night. So I'm glad I bought this TV yesterday, and hopefully it's worth it. You know, hopefully it's something that I could really enjoy and that everyone really enjoys tomorrow night.
Excuse me. Just drinking this water down here. Thirsty. But yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I think you made the right decision by going out and getting a big screen TV right now, because, you know, it's going to be a big night. The question is it going to be a night that we could really sink our teeth into? And we all know this has been a problem, you know, coming from the Raw pay-per-views. And even though there's only been one, we know what kind of disaster we ran into with Clash of Champions, pretty much, and how SmackDown is on the more logical road than Raw is right now. And I don't know.
Hello? Audio. Well, while we wait to get Big T back here on the show tonight, just a little heads up. Tomorrow night, Hell in a Cell will be live from the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. The sponsor, WWE 2K17. If you haven't got it, go out and get it. What are you waiting for? At me on PS4 Plus, SHAWN10269. Send me a friend request and let's play on PlayStation.
Am I here?
You're here.
Oh, thank God. But as I was going to say, you know, I'm excited, but yet I'm a little nervous to see if WWE is just totally going to, you know, on by the wayside, like they've done with their Raw shows lately. It's a hard one to really try to predict. Are they going to come out swinging for the fences and hit a home run? Or are they going to come out and lay the proverbial goose egg, pretty much, and give us nothing that has no story and no traction? By the way, we dive into this, everybody. We have a lot on YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes and Podomatic, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on this podcast if you're listening to the audio podcast. For those of you that are watching on YouTube right now, there's a live chat window that's open while we are streaming live. Your comments in and leave your predictions for Hell in a Cell, what you think is going to happen. And for people that are watching the replay on YouTube, you could put your predictions in for Hell in a Cell, what you think are going to happen. And, you know, we can go over them on the review show and, you know, have some fun with it. But if you're watching on YouTube also, don't forget to like the video, comment on it, and subscribe. Let's get the subscriber numbers moving on up. We're at 232. Let's keep them moving onward and upward. Check out www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com. And also, let's see. Oh, the audio podcast on iTunes and Podomatic. Make sure you give a 5-star rating and subscribe to the audio podcast. All that good stuff, because believe me, Sean and I we got the best show going on here, and we're here to prove it each and every time we get behind the microphone. I promise you that.
Well, let's keep our promise here by going over Hell in a Cell 2016 predictions. First up on the kickoff show tomorrow night will be a cruiserweight competition. Cedric Alexander, Lince Dorado, Sin Cara versus Tony Ness, Drew Gulak, and Arya Daivari in a six-man tag team match action on the kickoff show. Some cruiserweight action. I gotta be honest, I have really little idea as to who any of these guys are. I'm sort of a casual when it comes to the cruiserweight division. It's just sort of, like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy it. I just don't think WWE is doing a good job at marketing it and at turning it into a franchise. I think it's really a slow and boring build. I wanted to ask Sean Maluta this the other night, but I didn't get the opportunity to. If he thinks the way I feel that Monday Night Raw, the first hour, that should be the cruiserweight show. They already do separate ropes, separate colors, everything. I mean, Monday Night Raw used to be two different shows. Monday Night Raw, and then you had the War Zone, and that's when it was at its best. I'm not saying, could you imagine even this? What if Monday Night Raw got turned into three shows? You had the cruiserweight, the first hour. You have, you know, the PG still, the second hour. And then you get like TV 14, hour 10 to 11. I'm for that. But as of now, I don't know any of these cruiserweights. I really don't. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, oh, I think, I can't even pronounce their names.
Well, you did a good job of pronouncing your names. I gotta say that. I'll give you that.
But do you see my point?
Yeah, I mean, if you had to choose a team, which one would you choose?
No idea.
Yes.
It's a shot in the dark.
That's pretty much what I'm gonna do.
And this
so
is
Tony Nese.
This is WWE's fault.
Yeah,
we should know this.
There was Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and who was the third guy?
Arya Daivari.
Okay, Arya Daivari against Cedric Alexander, Lince Dorado, and
Sin Cara.
Sin Cara, okay. I'm gonna go with that team. I'm gonna go with Lince Dorado, Sin Cara, and I'm gonna go with that team. Who's the third guy?
I'll go with them too.
Damn! Now I know. I just said his name and I forgot it. I'm sorry, people. Dorado,
Alexander,
Sin Cara. Oh, Alexander. Yeah, Cedric Alexander. I'm gonna go with them. It seems like it would be the most logical way to go. I mean, cause they're, you know, all these six guys are good. I know who they are. I don't really know their names yet because WWE barely has them on TV. That's problem number one. Problem number two is that everything that Triple H did in the Cruiserweight Classic to build up, you know, the cruiserweights, Vince McMahon has already broken it down in the main roster. It's crazy. Crazy. Cause the Cruiserweight Classic made these guys look like the greatest wrestlers in the world when the main roster is just making them look like some kind of sideshow act that the WWE added onto their payroll. You know, like a secondary act. Like, all right, here's our regular superstars. Here's like this little mini company that we bought out. These guys, we'll showcase them for you in one match a night. Give them 8 minutes and then give a commercial during their match too. I mean, it's because the cruiserweights are a lot better than that.
I mean, what do you think of mine?
You support that?
Oh, I would support it. I would support it for sure because first hour to see these cruiserweights showcased the way that they deserve to be, all for it. That PG family era type thing. Well, okay, this is what I would do. First hour, I'd probably make it the PG hour because the kids go to bed early for school. I'd start it with the PG hour, then I'd go to the cruiserweight hour where, you know, you could go in between with adults and family friendly on there. And then the third hour when everybody, you know, usually tunes out, make that your adult hour.
See, they would never do that. Vince would never do that. And I don't really agree with that. What, you know, you suggested, cause personally, I think it's not good business to have an hour long intermission in between your show pretty much. I think they need to do.
No, I did. Intermission.
Well, intermission in the sense that they're taking a break from the real Raw storyline.
Oh.
And going into the cruiserweight storyline. I mean, I just can't get on board with that. But, I mean, I thought of it before you even said it. I'm like, oh no, I can't. That couldn't work. Because you need to have, you know, like, okay, now PG Raw's over. Kids get to bed. It's 10 o'clock. You know where your kids are. They better not be watching Raw anymore because it's time for TV 14. But obviously that's a big dream that will probably never happen.
Yeah, it's pretty much living in a fantasy world, man. It really is, but well, you know, we can only hope, I guess.
Definitely. I mean, that's what we gotta do, man. So, Hell in a Cell 2016. Let's kick it off with some women's singles match action. Dana Brooke will be taking on Bayley one-on-one tomorrow night. For me, I'm sort of looking too into this one, I think, because I think it has a lot to do with the outcome of the women's Hell in a Cell match as to who will win this match. If Sasha were to win, you know, it could go one way because of rivalry. I think that this is really going to be the end of the Charlotte and Sasha rivalry. I don't think they'll ever be able to top what they're going to do tomorrow. So they have to end the rivalry tomorrow. And that's why whoever, you know, whatever happens in this match is going to be affected by the women's Hell in a Cell match. So I'll save all that for later. Not without getting into too much detail. I am going to say Bayley gets the win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have a theory too myself, but I mean, I got to go with Bayley on this because Dana Brooke is the worst women's wrestler on the roster right now. The worst. And I'm not saying that she doesn't have the skill, you know, where she could be good. If she would go down in NXT, or if she would go work with, say, a trainer for a little bit of time, a well-polished performer. But right now, she just doesn't know enough. She's too much of a liability. She could seriously hurt somebody in the ring. She has been absolutely awful at what she does. Can she get better and improve on it, though? Yes, she definitely can, but I would say as far as the Raw women's roster, Dana Brooke is the worst women's wrestler, and Eva Marie being the worst on SmackDown. Now, the worst overall in the company is Eva Marie, Dana Brooke, as far as, you know, an in-ring point, because it's just it's bad. It's painful watching Dana Brooke right now because I know that she could be so much better than what she is, man. She really can be, and it's just, I don't know.
She's so you're not saying there. You're saying that Dana Brooke is worse than Alicia Fox and Summer Rae and
As far, I'm not talking character or anything like that. I'm talking strictly in-ring standpoint right
now. That's what you mean.
Yes, in-ring standpoint, she's worse than those women right now. And that's not her fault. It's the WWE for basically rushing her up from NXT way too fast. I mean, Dana Brooke had something epic going on with Emma and NXT, but see, what happened was Dana Brooke got hurt and Emma, you know, was wrestling in all the matches and Dana Brooke was her valet. So Dana Brooke was hurt the whole time. When she got cleared to come back, they just brought her right on up to the main roster instead of having her train in NXT to get her polished. And I think that's where the problems are coming in with her sloppy, careless in-ring work.
Wait, is Emma coming back to Raw or SmackDown?
I believe she's coming back to Raw, and she's going to be wrestling under an Emelina. I guess it's going to be a repackaged version of Emma.
Yeah, that's why that's even more proof as to what I'm theorizing here, is that, you know, probably Emma's going to come back, revitalize her rivalry with Dana Brooke, you know, finish that. And I'll talk more later with where I think Bayley will be going and all of that once we get to the women's championship match.
Oh my God, 3-run home run Indian, 7-1.
Wow.
We're going to go up 3-1 in the series. We might clinch it tomorrow night.
Holy crap.
Wow.
That is awesome.
They just shocked the world. You should see all the fans in Wrigley. You could hear a pin drop in that stadium now. The only people going crazy are the Indians fans in Cleveland at the watch party. And the Cubs fans are just sitting with like their heads in their hands in complete shock.
Damn. All right. So, awesome news there in the World Series. But let's keep it rolling here with WWE Hell in a Cell. Predictions, another match I'm really not looking forward to and probably will be downstairs making a sandwich during, the New Day. The tag team champions will be defending their champions against the team of Cesaro and Sheamus, aka Boring and Boringer. I could care less. Obviously the New Day is going to win. I don't care.
Now, I love Cesaro. Cesaro, I think, is a freaking awesome performer. Cesaro could give you such a great program and a great rivalry with anybody on the roster, but WWE, it's another example of how they don't know how to utilize him. Because I watched Cesaro wrestle in the indies, and believe me, that guy can go. But I've heard strange things. Heard rumors of people predicting that Cesaro and Sheamus are going to win the tag titles tomorrow night because they want to let this tag team ride out a while, that, you know, they just don't want this to be a one and done. They want to see how Sheamus and Cesaro would operate with the tag belts. But I don't see it. Why would you do that? Why would you take a team as hot as the New Day when they're on the verge of making history in about a month and a half, less than 2 months away from breaking the all-time tag team title record? Cesaro and Sheamus, I hope they end this tag team quick. I want Cesaro to go out on his own and be a single star and get away from Sheamus, because I'll tell you, when Cesaro was doing work with The Miz for the Intercontinental title when he first came back, Cesaro and Miz were wrestling awesome matches. Were both running hardcore. They were beasts. But, you know, you put Cesaro in with Sheamus, even though they had a decent match at Clash of Champions. I can tell working with Sheamus has brought Cesaro down a notch. And that's just because Sheamus always ends up getting brought down a notch, period. And it is what it is. So I got to tell you guys, it's got to be the New Day that's going to retain. The New Day is going to hold it until Roadblock. Once Roadblock comes, then the New Day will drop the titles and we'll head into a whole new tag team scene going into WrestleMania season. But for everybody jumping on the bandwagon that Cesaro and Sheamus are going to win, I don't see it. And if WWE would do it, I think that would be the biggest, most colossal mistake that they could do. Because honestly, Sheamus and Cesaro as a tag team, it's not interesting to me. To me, the tag team's already dead in the water. So just because Sheamus, I could give a shit about Sheamus. I mean, whether, you know, whether he's a good guy or not, you know, that's besides the point. But his character, the way he works in the ring, I actually see more excitement watching paint dry. I actually get more excited for that. So it's like, yeah, no, it just doesn't work for me. But, I go with New Day retaining the tag titles, and that's how I feel about that.
All right. Now, speaking of tag team action, we have another tag team match on the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view tomorrow night. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, the club, will be taking on Enzo Amore and Big Cass, 2-on-2 at Hell in a Cell. Again, it almost feels like there is absolute zero, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm cynical, where I honestly try my hardest to be as optimistic as humanly possible. Either I'm cynical, or I'm just retarded and I'm not understanding that, you know, maybe WWE is a good show and I'm just not understanding it, but I don't care about the New Day, about Enzo and Cass. Like, it's like, it's almost as if you're not in the top, you know, the three main events on Monday Night Raw tomorrow, on Hell in a Cell tomorrow, I mean, then WWE gives you the most weak, boring, and uninteresting storylines ever just so they don't have to have a 1 hour pay-per-view. Because I could care. I don't know anything. Why are Enzo and Cass and Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson fighting except for the sheer reason that they're the only two other tag teams and they have nothing else to do? I don't know, and I really am not.
That's all it is, Sean. You hit it right on the head. That's all it is.
And it's garbage.
They're the two tag teams that are not doing work. WWE probably is looking at their schedule thinking, okay, we got time on the schedule. We need a place to fill something to fill up this time. And they're like, there's Anderson and Gallows and so on. Cat, let's use them. And that's exactly what they do. No, Sean, trust me, you're not wrong, man. You're not wrong. Because that's exactly what they're doing. They're using them for filler. That's all it is.
Like, sometimes there's kids that come into work and, you know, I hear them talking about wrestling in an aisle or something, and they sound like, you know, they're so passionate about certain stuff, but when it comes to stuff like this, I wonder if they even pay attention. Like, if anyone even cares. And you know what? Yeah, I know there's people who are fans of the New Day, and they love them, and they're fans of Cass and Amore, but I'm sitting here watching No Way Out 2001 with a tag team match with four people that I do not like, okay? At this time frame, I didn't like Jericho, and I didn't like Just Incredible or X-Pac or Billy or Benoit or Eddie Guerrero.
That's not a tag match. That's a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental title.
Now I remember, but like, it's a perfect example where, you know, was I invested in them in this time? No. But now watching it, I would give anything to have this. Like, just this
Oh, Sean cut off. Hold on, people. Let's get him back. Let's get Sean back on the line with us. He just automatically dropped out. Let me try to call him here. See if we can get him back on the show. Yeah, here we go. Hold on, people. We're getting Sean back on here. Sean, your mic is muted.
Sorry about that.
You said the part where you dropped off at is when you said you would give anything to have this.
Yeah, just that excitement and adrenaline that is just totally lacking in today's product. And I was saying that it was announced today or this week that Vince, in their quarterly conference call with investors, said, yeah, he wouldn't mind selling the company. He's a business. He doesn't really care about the fans. It's not a family. It's not a universe of appreciation. It's a business. He'll sell us down the river to some godforsaken Hollywood studio that will never understand what they just bought, and he will rot away his sunburnt skin and, you know, drink freaking green juice until God knows when, and he won't give a damn. And you know what? He just doesn't care, and it's showing in the product. He doesn't care. It's not the Vince McMahon of 99 where he thought, you know, he sat backstage and did whatever it took to get that edge over the competition.
Yeah, like, people could try to look at this, you know, all they want and be like, well, you know, I love Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is a ruthless businessman. No, no, he's not. Vince McMahon was a ruthless Vince McMahon, you know, businessman. And I loved, past tense, Vince McMahon. This Vince McMahon right now, I don't even know who he is. I really don't. I don't even know this man. Just by the way he conducts business nowadays. Because it's like Vince McMahon of old. Anything. Like, I even read a story today, a rumor, alright, believe it or not. Well, actually an interview, a story on how Stacy the Cat Carter was talking about how it was scripted at Armageddon 99 that Vince McMahon put in the script for her to take her top off and expose her bare breast to the national WWE audience.
Global.
Yeah. To the global audience. Vince scripted that. View. You know why? Because pay-per-view used to be, if you bought pay-per-view, you never knew what you were going to hear. You never knew what you were going to see. And Vince knew that, and he was smart. Now, you could buy pay-per-view, and Vince don't give a shit. It's like, oh, here, let's give you something generic. You know, it's like, I don't know, Sean. It hurts, really. I mean, it does, because if I was in Vince McMahon's position, I would never sell my fans down the river. People could say, oh, you're full of shit. You'd sell us out, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a business. I get it. It's a business, but you don't sell out the people that count on you, that count on you to deliver, that count on you to bring happiness into their life with your product. You just don't do that. So Vince is an old man that's lost touch, and, you know, sorry that I gotta be rough about this, but that's how I feel. And, just wanna say hi to one of our fans that left a comment saying hello to us in the live chat, so hello to you. Alright.
So for me, I'm going with, the club to pick up the win, just because it seems like Enzo and Cass never win, and I guess they never will.
And you know, that's the craziest thing, Sean, because Enzo and Cass were this unstoppable, were this just absolutely unstoppable team that could beat anybody. They really could, you know, on any given night. And, you know, look at what Vince McMahon did. Killed their momentum as soon as they went to the main roster. I understand and I see where you're coming from, and you very well can be right. But I view Anderson and Gallows winning would be a colossal mistake. Be one of the worst things that the WWE could do right now, just because their credibility is already so far destroyed and beaten down. Like, think about this. This is where their credibility got destroyed, having them lose to the New Day over and over. And then once Vince booked Anderson and Gallows to have a hard-fought match against the Golden Truth, like, they almost lost to the Golden Truth. They beat the Golden Truth by this much, by the skin of their ass. And I was like, okay, wow, WWE, like, you dug that hole 12 feet deep and threw Anderson and Gallows in it. So now, after breaking down Anderson and Gallows and burying them as far down as they did, if Anderson and Gallows beat Enzo and Cass, that's just burying them and burying another integral part of your tag team division. See, and this stuff should not be happening. So for the sake of Enzo and Cass to remain relevant, since it's already too late for Anderson and Gallows, Enzo and Cass gotta win this match. Enzo and Cass have to win. They have to beat Anderson and Gallows. They have to start positioning Enzo and Cass up the ladder. You know, because Anderson and Gallows already got taken down and thrown off the ladder. And it's a tough one. I know there's a very good chance that, you know, Anderson and Gallows could win, but I gotta hold out hope for Enzo and Cass that they can pull this one out of their hat finally, because they need it.
Alright, also, at Head on the Cell tomorrow night, we will have Cruiserweight Championship action. TJ Perkins, the Cruiserweight Champion, will be defending his championship against the challenger, Brian Kendrick, former WWE Tag Team Champion, one-on-one for the Cruiserweight Championship tomorrow at Hell in a Cell. WWE's gotta do something with this stagnant cruiserweight division. It has so much potential, yet, so little invested. But it just goes back to what we're talking about all night here. Does WWE even give a flying fuck anymore? Does Vince honestly care? I just don't know. And I'm going to try and get over this. I'm going to pretend like WWE does care. But it's just so hard to actually get over that. After you hear those words, yes, WWE is for sale because we are a business and we are open to offers. It's so hard to get over that. And it just shows how far we've sank as, you know what they say? You don't sell when the going's good. You know, you don't sell when it's high. You sell when it's low, because when it's high, it always has the opportunity to go even higher. But when it's low, you just want to throw in the white flag, the white towel. And that's what I just can't get over. I think Vince is throwing in the white towel. He doesn't give a fuck anymore. But it's really hard to get over that once you hear basically like that. It's almost like your family member, like if your family were to say, you know, I'm going to sell you to the gypsies or something. You know, like that old saying, like, oh, you better behave, kids, or else I'll sell you to the gypsies for, you know, $100 or something, like that old joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it feels like. It hurts.
Well, because think about it, man. Oh, Sean got thrown out again. Hold on, people. Let me try to get him back. Hold on here. Sean got disconnected.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice.
All right. No answer there. I hope everything's okay with Sean. Let me try one more time.
I don't know why it keeps doing that.
I know, it's been doing that lately. Like, me, it cuts my audio, you, it throws out.
I have to stay on the actual Google Hangouts page.
Oh, whenever you get off the page is when it throws you out?
Yep. But, like I said, I think...
Yeah, you're like, you remember that old saying when... You know, your mom and dad would say, you know, you better behave or I'll sell you to the gypsies for $100. And you're like, and it hurts. And then you started to say something else and you dropped out.
Well, yeah, like I said, it really does hurt because it's almost like he's not even joking anymore. He really means it. He's really selling us to the gypsies and he doesn't care what happens to us. And you know what? It hurts. And... it's hard to get over. It's hard to just overlook that. It's hard to think like, you know, it's not going to happen when obviously it will. So, So like I was saying though, in a perfect world, Brian Kendrick would win, add some excitement to the mix. But in this world where Vince McMahon could care less and he basically has the for sale sign around our necks, he's going to probably just say, keep it on Perkins. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, especially what they did with Kendrick on Raw, man. That just made me sick. That really made me sick, what they did with Kendrick. Do you remember what I'm talking about? When Brian Kendrick was in the locker room, he went up to TJ Perkins. And he was like almost in tears and he was explaining to TJ how bad he needs this. And he's like, well, I was thinking about, you know, how about you let me win? It's like, what? You have someone the caliber of Brian Kendrick, who's one of the most talented wrestlers in the world. You have him basically almost crying, asking TJ Perkins to lay down for him and let him win the title in Hell in a Cell. What kind of story is that? What does that say about Brian Kendrick? That just basically says that Brian Kendrick has the same attitude as Vince McMahon does. He gave up. He knows he can't beat Perkins. So, hey, TJ, let me win. And I need this. Oh, my God. And that's what this match is built off of. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sean? Did you see that or not?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of understand that it's like, oh, the classic cowardly heel, but I just don't care.
Honestly, I'm with you. I lost the ability to care myself, and I'm with you, Sean. You know what? In a perfect world, if McMahon really cared, it would be on Brian Kendrick's waist. But you know what? McMahon's going to want to keep it on basically the Super Mario of the WWE now. You know, Mr. Video Game Theme or Video Game Hero himself, TJ Perkins. Paw I'm not Patrol. Picking on gamers. Huh?
Paw Patrol Perkins.
It's not like I'm picking on anybody, you know, that's a gamer because I'm a gamer myself. Like, they are literally making him into like a video game superhero, you know, like with his music, his Titantron. It's like this cheesy bullcrap. I feel like I'm witnessing a Atari game or like an 80s video game, 80s Mario game, you know, come to life with the cheesy music and the, you know, just everything. It's like over it. You know, I want a real cruiserweight like Brian Kendrick to win the lock in that captain's hook and make Perkins tap. Now, the only way Brian Kendrick will win is by the ultimate, like, just sneaky or dirty tactic. But I'm with you, Sean. I don't think it's going to happen. I think TJ Perkins is going to keep it. They're going to ride with this, and then who knows what's going to be with Brian Kendrick going forward. Who knows what they're going to do next. You know, it just is what it is.
So, on to some Hell in a Cell action. Let's start off with the United States Championship match. Inside Hell in a Cell, the U.S. champion Roman Reigns will be defending his championship against former U.S. champ Rusev inside Hell in a Cell. Now, obviously, we talked about this. This is one of the top three, so this is one that we actually care about because, you know, that's most on our television. I mean, that's why. Plain and simple.
Yeah, like everything on this card, Sean, everything that you just read on that card up until this point really hasn't even been showcased on our TV screens. And just let me throw this in for one more thing before we get into the main events. Another terrible thing that Raw has going on is this Golden Truth and Shining Stars thing, and the rivalry is over the Shining Stars selling R-Truth a fake Rolex. Titus O'Neil is like the Shining Stars manager. Mark Henry is like the Golden Truth's muscle. They had a six-man tag with all of them and then a tag team match last week. Shit has to stop. See, like, this is what you don't see on SmackDown, and this is why SmackDown has been better. That's why I don't know for the life of me, because there are people out there, I've read comments, you know, not on our channel directly, but on other channels, I've read comments where people have said SmackDown sucks. Sorry, I mean, I love Raw too, okay? I'm a Raw guy. I'm a Raw guy at heart. But as much as I want it to be, I can't lie to myself or my audience. Raw is not better than SmackDown. SmackDown is blowing Raw away in every sense of the form. There you go. And then, you know what? If Stephanie wasn't on Raw, you could really forget it. There would be nothing to look forward to.
There you go.
So, that's the truth.
For Rusev and Roman Reigns, I think that magazine you showcased earlier is proof enough that WWE is probably in the process of revitalizing the tarnish of Roman Reigns' suspension. And, you know, this is just going to be another little notch in his bedpost. He's getting this win. He's going to have probably a good match. I'm thinking this is going to be a solid match. These are two heavy hitters. I could even picture, you know, a spear through the cage. Maybe not though, because we'll probably need the cage intact for later events. But honestly, the way they've been marketing this match, it's almost like this will be the main event. It's been the show starter on Raw several weeks. It's been the show finisher on Raw several weeks. It has every potential to end the show, in all honesty, but, I doubt that'll happen. I would like to see a spear through the cell. I just, you know, it's all a matter of timing. Who knows? Maybe they'll let them spear through the cell and then the cell will be remained, open the rest of the night. I think that'd be a little stupid, but it would be interesting if they had a damaged cell for the other two matches. I got a question to ask you after I give my prediction, but I sort of already did. I mean, Roman Reigns is going to get this. It's just a matter of how good of a match will be. But I'm wondering, what do you think the order of cell matches will be? Do you think this will be first, second, or third? Or
I think this will be the first cell match out of three. I think this will be the first. And then I think the women will be second. And I think Owens and Rollins, for whatever reason, for God, you know, will be third. Which I don't think it should be, but I think it's going to be. I think Vince is going to go with the same old, really boring formula. You know? Boring formula. That's classic Vince McMahon that doesn't change up anything.
I don't think that the match order necessarily matters all that much as far as excitement goes. I think if it's going to be a good match, it'll be a good match no matter where it is on the card. I think that's all a matter of, you know, personal.
Like this is how I think it's going to go. I think Rusev and Reigns are going to kick off the night. They're going to start it off inside the cell. Then you're going to get to the midpoint of the show, maybe around 9:15. Yeah, probably around between 9 and 9:15. You know, they'll have Roman Reigns, and they'll have a couple of their throw-in matches. Then they'll get to the women. Then you'll have the women in that middle part that'll take up like your 9:15, maybe all the way up to 9:55, 10 o'clock, you know, with video packages, entrances, match, everything. And then from 10 o'clock, you know, do a couple short matches and then have your third Hell in a Cell with Owens and Rollins. I think that's how it's going to go. That's why they have three. They're going to have one to start you off. They're going to have one in your middle. They're going to have one in the end. At least if I was booking the show, that's how I would do it. I mean, number one, I'm not for the gimmick pay-per-views to begin with. But if I had to book a gimmick pay-per-view, like say if this is what Vince wanted, I was in control of it, give me a cell match to start off the show to get you all, you know, grumbled up and hot. I'll give you a couple of the undercard matches, which might not be, you know, what you want. It might be something boring, but you'll be all energized from that Hell in a Cell. So after a couple matches, when the crowd starts to come down, boom, I'm going to be right back up at you, pique your interest, raise your interest back up with the second Hell in a Cell match. Then, same thing. Have a couple more throw-in matches. You're going to start to come down a little bit because it's going to get a little bit boring. And then, boom, end your night, bring you right back up with the third Hell in a Cell match and get you energized all over again. And that's how you book it, I think.
All right, so who do you got as the winner for the U.S. champion tomorrow night?
For the U.S. championship, man, to be honest with you, I only see one possible outcome, and the only one I can see is Roman Reigns. Honestly. Roman Reigns, only one I can see winning. Now see, here's a couple of things though that I don't know where this is gonna go going forward. With Roman Reigns winning and this being in Hell in a Cell, this is gonna signify the end of this rivalry. Oh. Who is gonna be next in line to challenge Roman Reigns? I don't know. That's one thing I've been trying to rack my brains over. Who in the mid-card? Because you can't look at it as a main event talent. US title, they'll always have like the mid-carders go for it. So it's like, who in the mid-card is going to be good enough to hang with Roman Reigns? I don't know. See Cesaro, if they would break him away from Sheamus, I could see Cesaro going at it with Roman Reigns. What would be brute physical force?
I think but, Braun Strowman.
I mean, I could see it. I could definitely see it, but I think Braun Strowman would just get fed to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, like that piranha just devouring the little rat in the tank.
See, I see it like Braun Strowman and Reigns, and then Rusev and Sami Zayn, and then after that, those two feuds are over, it'll be probably Roman and Zayn.
Oh, okay. I can see where you're going for there. Yeah, then you could have Roman and Zayn. You could put Zayn over in a big way and then move Roman onto something else. I mean, I'd be for it if they do it right. But without a doubt, as far as Hell in a Cell goes, Roman Reigns is walking out with that U.S. Championship. No doubt.
Now, on to some history. Tomorrow night at Hell in a Cell, live from the TD Garden, or the TD Center in Boston, Massachusetts, will be the first ever WWE women's match for the women's championship inside of Hell in a Cell. The WWE women's champion Sasha Banks will be defending against Charlotte. One-on-one inside the career ender, Hell in a Cell. Now, we talked about this earlier. Dana Brooke and
Bailey
is going to win. Now, hear me out. Like I just said, think of it this way. Roman Reigns will probably be having a rivalry with Braun Strowman. I could see after tomorrow's rivalry of Sasha and Charlotte ends, Charlotte will have a rivalry with Nia Jax. Think about it. The two little WrestleMania darlings, Reigns and Charlotte, going one-on-one against the two indestructible forces of Jax and Strowman. The two that have been fed the jobbers all year. Charlotte and Jax, Reigns and Strowman. Sasha is going to lose tomorrow night and have this little feud with Bailey. Because listen, Bailey is an indisputable face. Sasha, she's more of an inconvenience for the WWE. Sasha is a much better heel, just as her character goes. She's brash. She's, you know, she's not really good at being a babyface. Not saying she's bad. I'm just saying in comparison to Bailey, she's trash. Obviously. I mean, that's a hard bar to reach.
Anybody in comparison to Bailey doing the baby face role is trash to me, because nobody can get the pop as a baby face. Nobody can get that feel good reaction as a baby face like Bailey. Bailey has.
And to Sasha's credit, no one could really get as good of a heel as Sasha is. I mean, when you see Sasha sassing down that ring, you know, lips perched, attitude on at a level 11, and you know, you have Bailey, this PG, lovey-dovey garbage that, you know, so many people enjoy, whatever. Trust me, I'm a so much bigger Sasha fan as a heel because she's just not a natural face. So, Charlotte will pick up the win. Maybe, Nia Jax will get involved in the match tomorrow. Maybe not. Maybe, she'll wait for Monday Night Raw to come out when Charlotte says she's done it all. She's made history, this and that. And then you have Nia Jax come out and challenge her. So I think Dana Brooke and Emelina, Sasha Banks and Bailey, obviously, and it's going to be Charlotte and Nia Jax having a rivalry for the women's championship.
But Dana Brooke and Emelina were friends. They were never rivals.
Well, that'll change.
I mean, I could see it. You know, you definitely have a good direction there. The only monkey wrench that I see in the plans of all this, Jax is heel and Charlotte is heel.
Yeah, well, that's gonna gradually change because Charlotte has the ability, like a chameleon, to become what she has to become. She's a great performer and, you know, no one is able to be, anything but a face when you're going up against a beast like Nia Jax. So, I think, Charlotte's gonna pick up the win. Of course, it's just gonna be an incredible match. Nonetheless, I think it's gonna be real history and, I just don't see Sasha picking up the win with my plans, you know, with my direction. It's just not possible. So I'm interested in, hearing your prediction.
Well, see, here's the whole thing. You guys know, everybody knows that listens to the podcast how I feel about Charlotte. So I don't even have to go over that. I just don't like anything that she does. God knows if I ever will. I'm not going to say never, but I really don't know if I ever will. To me, this is pretty cut and dry. If they were going to have Sasha win the title or retain it, so to speak, they would have just had her hold on to it. They would have had Charlotte hold on to it until Hell in a Cell and then have Sasha be the one to beat her in her hometown. So it's only obvious they're going to bury the hometown hero in their hometown again. Sasha's gonna get buried. She's gonna get beat. It's gonna make me sick. That's probably one of the reasons. I may not even watch this match. To be honest with you guys, I may not even watch it because I haven't been watching anything Charlotte. And to be honest, I really don't care to. This is just how disgusted I am with Charlotte as a whole. And, you know, that's just how it is. And I know what they're doing. They had Charlotte lose just so they could have her make history and win the title inside Hell in a Cell just because she's Ric Flair's little girl and all this and that. And she's going to win. As far as what's going to happen, I really don't know. Sean's theory sounds like the best theory to me because you know what? Bailey is a top performer and she hasn't got jack shit to work with yet. And it really fucking pisses me off because Bailey is so good at what she does and they have given her nothing. They have made her look unimportant. They have showed that they don't care about Bailey. And it's just so disappointing. So, I mean, I could see Sasha and Bailey going at it again. I mean, I don't care if Sasha is babyface or heel. I love Sasha either way. Charlotte, I just can't stand. And definitely when she wins the title back, I'm not even going to say if because I really feel it's when she wins the title back, I'm not even going to really watch anything that she does on Raw because like I said, I'm just starting to boycott anything Charlotte. If she has that title, I am not putting it on my screen because awful. I'm tired of hearing her scream into the microphone every time she has to come on cutting a promo. I mean, I'm sorry. That is not cutting a promo. Cutting a promo is an art. All Charlotte does when she comes out and cuts a promo is she's very robotic about it. She screams in the same tone, which is like just putting nails on a chalkboard and just digging your nails into it. She's cringe. Charlotte is absolute fucking cringe. I'm sorry guys, but you know, anybody that watches can like her, but I'm telling you, I'm taking a stand against WWE, just like I said with Eva Marie. Eva Marie's on TV. I ain't watching. And it's to that point with Charlotte. She's on TV. I am not watching because she is terrible. And WWE's got to change their ways in their women division if they're going to want to get my view. So I've only been watching now because my favorite, Sasha, is at the top, but they're going to give Charlotte this title back, which I'm saying that they will. I won't be watching, you know, a Nia Jax Charlotte program like Sean's talking about because I will not turn on a women's segment while Charlotte is holding that title. I will not do it. But I predict Charlotte to win and for me to be taking a break from watching the Raw's women's division title matches for a while. That's how I feel about it.
Just a little, prediction game here, like long term, like, okay. Obviously, if my direction is correct, we're going to have Charlotte and Nia Jax, but Sasha and Bayley are undoubtedly going to steal the shows they're working on in a, you know, just from history, I mean, they already have one of the greatest women's matches of all time, and that wasn't even on the main roster. I mean, why would, we all know it's gonna happen, Charlotte and Nia Jax, just because it's so obvious, but why would they do that? Why would they put the women's championship in a feud that isn't the best feud? I mean, it's sort of bonkers.
It really is. And you know, like if you think about it, I think your theory has to be the way to go about it though, because Nia Jax has been off TV for what now? 6 weeks? I think the last time we've seen her is Clash of Champions kickoff when she beat Alicia Fox or something. It's been a long time since we've seen Nia Jax. It's been about 4 or 5 weeks. And they're keeping her off TV for a reason. I wonder if that's because pre-1997 all over again, but with, you know, the women, and have Nia Jax come out and rip the door off the cell. I don't know. Her hiding under the ring and she's going to attack Sasha. I don't know what to think. I mean, really think about this though. This is another thing that makes you believe that Nia Jax has to get involved, because if she does not get involved and say Charlotte and Sasha is just what it is, and then the next night on Raw, nothing happens where we see Nia Jax and there's no Nia Jax sighting or nothing. Where do you go from there? I mean, really, where do you go? It's almost like you hit a dead end because there's nothing in your division because you built it as a three-woman division with Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte. That's it. You have 9 women that can wrestle on that roster, but they haven't paid attention to any of them. it's basically like giving the middle finger to every woman on the Raw roster, as if to say, you know, you're not named Sasha, Bailey, or Charlotte, so we don't care. Three women out of the four horsewomen, so it's their division. You know, we're going to use them. When SmackDown, on the other hand, knows how to build storylines with their women. They really do. They know how to build perfect storylines. And I'll tell you, Becky Lynch has done awesome over there. Alexa Bliss is looking perfect on SmackDown. It just goes to show you how SmackDown is giving their show more care. They're giving it more care. They are, you know, planting the seeds to let them grow better. SmackDown is actually giving you logic. Raw is just giving you forced, half-assed book. I mean, you can tell the difference between the two programs. I mean, just look at No Mercy versus Clash of Champions. Look at Backlash versus Clash of Champions. I mean, look at SmackDown versus Raw just as a whole. It's clear. It is really clear. So I don't know how you feel, Sean, but that's what I'm pretty much picking out of this. I mean, and if Hell in a Cell flops tomorrow night, what does that mean? And worse for the WWE, if Hell in a Cell is a failure, it's going to get worse for Raw. Another bad thing, a three-match show, Sean. And the whole thing is, two out of these three matches, probably one of them should be, but even the title match, oh, we didn't even get to the title match yet, sorry. But it's, you know, it's all a mess, but I would say, yeah, Charlotte undoubtedly is going to win.
So you were telling me, though, the other day that you believe there will be little to no actual involvement with the Cell.
There what?
There will be little to no involvement with the actual Cell.
Yeah, that Cell's just going to be there for decoration with the women. They might pull hair and slam each other's back of their heads in it a couple times, but you're not going to get, you know, pushing the faces up against and grinding the faces on the Cell. You're not going to get, you know, getting put through the Cell. You're not going to have an opportunity for the women to use bowl cutters to go up to the top. You're not going to see women holding on to the top of the cage for dear life, trying not to fall through the announce table. You're not going to get none of that. This is the Hell in a Cell is just being used as a gimmick in this match, okay? We call a Hell in a Cell a gimmick pay-per-view. Well, you know, because it is, but the whole thing is we know what the structure used to be. You put this Cell around these women, it's gonna be like the John Cena versus Randy Orton Hell in a Cell match all over again from 2014. Go and watch that match, Sean. With John Cena. Alright, well, you saw it. And John Cena and Randy Orton had no involvement with that Cell. They basically had a street fight within the confines of the Cell. I think they used kendo sticks, they used tables. They had a street fight within the confines of the Cell, but didn't use the actual Cell itself. I think that's what it's going to be like with the women. This Cell is not going to come into play except for a few hair pulls and a few backhead slams into the cage itself. Not going to do anything.
I'm wondering though, because this is not this Hell in a Cell 2014. This is something big. Like, if WWE wants a future with women's wrestling, and if they want to respect the past of women's wrestling, this might be an exception to your theory, where they might pull a couple rabbits out of the hat, so to speak. They might say, go out there and get color like they told Randy Orton to. They might say, do it like no woman's ever done it before. Go up to the top. Let's fucking
your mic complete. Your mic completely dropped out there. I don't know.
Hello?
If it's, Sean, your microphone's completely cutting out.
Hello?
Yeah, I didn't hear like the past three sentences you said. I don't know if it's something to do with the streaming, if the data's running slow, but you kept dropping out like crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. My PlayStation's playing perfectly fine, my network, but what I'm saying, I think WWE might just make an exception to the rule for this match tomorrow night. I believe there probably will be some craziness going on, and there probably will be some unexpected color, maybe some, you know, I think if WWE wants to pay respect and actually build a foundation in women's wrestling, they're going to have to prove that they're equal, and they're going to have to make sacrifices like the men have done. I think this is going to be better than Orton and Cena 2014. I just, you know, obviously I hope you're wrong that it's, because I think there's just such a big precedence for this match tomorrow night that they can't underwhelm. Otherwise it's a total bust. I think there will be people that unsubscribe to the network. They'll never get involved with WWE again if they basically just disrespect the women by, you know, letting them get out there and embarrass themselves.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Sean, it would not surprise me, though. It really wouldn't. Like, I gotta tell you, I hope you're right. And that you're right, because that's what I would want to see more than any other. You know, is for them to really change the game, you know, these women to really change the game and step it up, but it's Vince McMahon we're talking about. It's someone that we're out of touch, that's out of touch that we're talking about. If this match was in Triple H's hands, I don't even know if Triple H would have made the Hell in a Cell match happen, but just say he did. I think Triple H, just knowing that it would have been in Triple H's hands, would have been way better. Just knowing that this is in the hands of Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon makes it that much more concerning. You know, we just gotta hope for the best that they let these women do what they want to do, but I just have this feeling that everything I say about this Cell match is what Vince McMahon is going to ultimately go with. Now, if he surprises us, I will be so happy I wouldn't even be able to explain it to you, because the women deserve to have that moment, you know, that shocking moment, that hardcore moment, to really show that they can do it just as good as the guys. But the whole thing is, will Vince let them loose, or will he put the shackles on their hands and feet and keep them caged up and not let them fly? Will he let the women spread their wings and fly or not? That's the question.
One thing, here's a trivia question. What was, okay, so the Hell in a Cell started in 1997.
Yeah.
What year was the first year that didn't have a Hell in a Cell after 1997? Was it 2000? Wait. Okay, what was the first year that didn't have a Hell in a Cell?
The first year that did not have a Hell in a Cell match since they made the match, correct?
Yeah.
That's easy. That is one of the easiest answers in the world, 2001.
Nope,
1999. No, wrong. They had a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania 15 in 99 with The Undertaker and Boss Man.
Yep, you're right. I tried to trick you. Because no one even remembers that match.
I remember it.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, like, no one ever talks about that one.
Oh, I know. I know. Believe me, though, I remember it because Undertaker hung Boss Man from the damn thing afterwards.
Yep.
So,
you know, it should be interesting tomorrow. Let's just hope we get some good stuff from it. But onward and upward to a main event, the WWE Universal Championship will be defended live tomorrow night from the TD Center in Boston, Massachusetts at Hell in a Cell 2016. Live on the WWE Network. Seth Rollins, the challenger, will be taking on the undeserving piece of crap champion Owens. Yeah, I mean, Owens is a piece of crap that doesn't even deserve that championship, doesn't feel like a champion, doesn't look like a champion, doesn't act like a champion, and in all effect is no champion at all. If it weren't for big nose, pecker face, piece of crap Triple H, he wouldn't be the champion. So, let me just say, I don't expect to see Triple H get involved. I expect to see... maybe we have this, okay? Maybe we have Jericho turns on Owens. You know, because it's just the feeling on TV you get. You don't feel like, you know, Jericho and Owens are really best friends. It's almost like Jericho is manipulating the retard Kevin Owens, because we all know how smart and, you know, cunning and just ruthless Jericho is. And I feel like Rollins is like a perfect protege of Chris Jericho. He's like his apprentice. So I see Jericho maybe getting into, if Triple H returns, you know, I like to see, you know, Triple H come down there and make sure, oh, you know, Owens doesn't get that champion, or Rollins doesn't get that championship. But then you have Jericho turn on Owens and take down Triple H and save the match for Rollins, and Rollins wins, and it builds up a either Royal Rumble match with Jericho versus Triple H, or a WrestleMania match, Jericho versus Triple H. A long time awesome rivalry revisited, and Seth Rollins gets the Universal Championship for the first time, and Kevin Owens goes back to obscurity, hopefully to job to Gold Dust on Superstars.
I'll tell you, Sean, I agreed with everything that you said, you know, because I would like to see it happen. I just have a totally different feeling on how they're going to book this. You know, it would be perfect. Sean, if I was booking it, I would take that idea and I would run with it, because that is just a, you know, that's an awesome booking idea. So great job there. It's just when I think about it and I think of how WWE handles their business, they're going to have something happen. I think where the lights are going to go out, or Triple H will be like a cameraman in disguise inside the cell already, or under the ring somehow. There's going to be something screwy. He's not just going to come down the ramp. I think that Triple H will get involved somehow. He could even debut from NXT and take out Rollins. Something's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be, but something is going to happen where he's going to retain the title.
No.
We're going to have to go through this horrible title reign. And to be honest with you, it's predicted to last through the Royal Rumble, because I already read some reports that, you know, they might plan on Kevin Owens holding the title until the Royal Rumble, have him lose, and they're thinking maybe he could be an opponent for The Undertaker or WrestleMania. Why? I don't know. I wouldn't want to see Kevin Owens and The Undertaker, for God's sakes. Another one that was thrown out there for The Undertaker, just to say this real quick while we're on a podcast, we'll dive into it more on, you know, news and rumors next week, is it's rumored that The Undertaker might be working with Bill Goldberg if the WWE could convince Goldberg to have one more match after Survivor Series. So
I predicted that.
Yep, you did. I predicted that to take place on WrestleMania 32, and now you predicted it for 33. So, I mean, just to let you know, that could be happening.
Yes.
But there's something with this whole Owens thing. They're going to do something to where Owens keeps his damn belt. Rollins has more dissension with Triple H. I think Triple H is going to do something to screw over Rollins. I feel it, you know? And if it's not Triple H, then something will happen where Jericho gets involved. And this friendship angle will last maybe through Survivor Series if Jericho's scheduled to stay. And then, you know, maybe Jericho could screw over Raw. Like, it'll be down to Owens and, you know, for Raw or SmackDown. And then Jericho could screw over Owens and Raw that way. I mean, you never know. There's plenty of doors open for Jericho depending on how long he's going to stay. So I think that's a big factor. But if I had to pick one, and believe me, it makes me nauseated to even say this, just like it made me nauseated saying Charlotte was going to win, I believe Kevin Owens is walking out Universal Champ.
No.
Something's going to happen. You know, Rollins is still going to be on the pursuit for the title because Rollins face for a reason. And every time they turn someone face, like now everybody, they want to see Rollins champ. They want to see it happen. Everybody's just hanging on that to see it happen.
Yeah, but what about the real Rollins fans that have been with them from the beginning that don't give a fuck? That they just know who deserves to be champ. They don't care about the weight, the precious weight, the build. That guy has been robbed of his build by an injury. He never lost his championship, ever.
Well, that's because you and I are thinking logically. The WWE does not. So you gotta look at Vince McMahon's point of view, and that's something that I've always learned is try to think how today's Vince McMahon would think. He is going to let this build because everybody's wanting to see Rollins with that title and he's going to wait and wait and wait. Maybe even until WrestleMania 33. I don't know. I think it's going to be a while before that belt is put on Rollins yet. I don't think Rollins will be champ this year in 2016. It's going to go into next year. Because I think Vince is going to ride this out. He wants that baby face pop to build and build and build and get higher and higher and higher and higher. And then when Rollins finally wins, it's going to blow the roof off the place that it's in. Why? Because Vince cares about reaction. He cares about getting that quote unquote cheap pop. He doesn't care about the hardcore fans that stick by Rollins or even Jericho. Look at me, diehard Jericho fan. Did he give a shit about us diehard Jericho fans that seen Jericho perform at WrestleMania 29? No. He made Jericho put over fucking Fandango. Oh. That goes to show you something right there, that the main guy booking it, Vince McMahon, doesn't care. He just wants reaction, and he turned Rollins' face for a reason. And that's to keep getting screwed by Vince's son-in-law, Triple H, because we gotta give Triple H, you know, that ultimate heel heat. This is what Vince is thinking. You know, Triple H has to get that heel heat. We gotta get more heat on Triple H. We gotta get more heat on Triple H. We need to get more babyface, you know, sympathy for Rollins. We need that to elevate. And this is what Vince is thinking. So, no, Kevin Owens is retaining that title.
No.
Tomorrow night. And believe me,
you said a little quick, you know, because he's my favorite. You said Rollins isn't getting the championship in 2016. He already did, technically, at Money in the Bank. Just a little.
I know that. I'm talking about going forward. I'm not talking about back.
Yeah, I know.
He's not getting the championship for the rest of 2016. They're going to wait till 2017. But yeah, I know Rollins got it this year. Ambrose was the one that cashed in and took it. And, you know, that's how it's been ever since. But I see it, Sean. If I were you, like I said, it's always good to be positive. But one thing I learned from being a Chris Jericho fan, please brace yourself for the worst possible possibility. Because you don't want to be too angry when something happens. And I really learned that with, you know, the whole Chris Jericho thing. Once he lost to Fandango at WrestleMania 29, like every time going forward, I'm like, well, they're probably going to have him go out and lose to this guy. So, you know, I got to brace myself, and I braced myself for Jericho to lose to Ryback at Money in the Bank 2014. And what did they do? They had Jericho job to Ryback. It's just, you know, you got to be prepared for these stupid decisions that they make. You really do. You really have to, you know, prepare yourself.
So are you saying Owens is going to win without interference? Is Jericho going to turn or what?
I think Owens is going to win due to one of two things. Either Triple H is going to interfere, be in the cell as a cameraman, disguised. He could be under the ring. Maybe the lights will go on. They'll come back on. Triple H will be in the ring. Or Jericho will somehow interfere when Owens will remain quote-unquote best friends until Survivor Series.
You notice, I don't think there's been one prediction show that I ever predicted against Rollins.
Oh, I know.
And I'm always wrong.
I know what they're doing because they're trying to build Rollins as the top babyface in the company. So now they're going to basically take away his big prize. Why? Because they want to build that pop factor, the pop factor being the reaction. They want to build that up until they don't care about hardcore Rollins fans because they know hardcore Rollins fans already will pop for him. They care about all these casuals and everybody that they cater to get invested in Rollins. And when every single fan is invested in Rollins, that's when Vince is going to pull the trigger and Rollins will hold that title and he'll get the biggest pop. Because that's Vince McMahon booking 101 right there. And believe me, it's not a knock on you or anybody else. I hope I'm wrong because I'm tired of seeing Kevin Owens as the champ. Kevin Owens hasn't done jack shit since he won the damn title. But, you know, I think they're just going to put us through more and more of the torture. Like, you got a guy like Styles who's excelling. He's just excelling on SmackDown.
And that's the difference. AJ Styles is a heel champion, but he's actually good. Owens could be a good heel champion, but Raw is just so lost that it's horrific.
They really don't know what they're doing. They really don't know. I don't think they even know what they want Owens to do, and to be honest with you, to me, Owens' flaws are already exposed. But I believe in the higher-ups' minds, like Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon, in their minds, they figured out, all right, you know what? We don't know what to do with Kevin Owens, so let's kind of cover up his flaws And let's have a Hall of Famer, Chris Jericho, you know, stand alongside him and fight his battles for now. And let's have them be friends. Because we know Jericho can carry the load for Owens. And this will shield Owens from, you know, any potential backlash. Like, see, this is how they think. But see, they think every fan watching their show is a fucking brain-dead retard. Not the case. They actually have smart people that watch the show. Smart people all around the world that listen to us and listen to, you know, Jericho's podcast and Stone Cold's podcast. I mean, JR's podcast. I mean, these fans are not stupid like the WWE thinks they are. There's intelligent fans out there.
Okay.
One thing that they need to realize.
So instead of what the WWE thinks, you know, like how they think the book, like what about, you know, like how I always give, like, I don't care what WWE thinks. I think, you know, I say what I would want to do, what I want to see, like, what do you want to see?
Well, are you still talking about the prediction standpoint or just something else?
Yeah.
Well, for predictions, I always go with what I feel is going to happen.
Yeah, but like what?
Always done it.
Like if you could predict what you want to see, I'm just curious for, you know, the match tomorrow, like how would you like if you could have a dream prediction that you could decide, you know?
Well, if I was the booker and I could decide it, okay, this is what I would do.
And everything was exactly what it is now. You can't go back in time to change anything. You could only change the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, this is easy. What you do is you have Jericho, okay, get involved. He screws over Owens. That leads to a big rivalry with Jericho and Owens. You know, Jericho ends up winning the rivalry. Then you move on to a huge, you know, Jericho Rollins program in the middle of waiting for Triple H to come back. Have, you know, maybe a great TLC match at TLC with, oh wait, that's SmackDown pay-per-view. Never mind. Never mind. Take that scenario out. See, these brand pay-per-views get me mixed up now. But what I would do is, yeah, definitely have Jericho screw over Owens. I mean, that would be the best route to go. It would make sense because they've had tension already. And there's frustration there. So, you have Jericho screw over Owens. Rollins gets the title. You know, say if Jericho is ready to go out on the road and tour with Fozzy, like it's been rumored, Stephanie can suspend Jericho indefinitely. Jericho walks away for, you know, a few months, maybe comes back around WrestleMania time, and you have a WrestleMania match right there with Jericho and Owens in a feud that is already set up. Well, as far as what would happen after, you know, Rollins would win the title back. Then you'd have Stephanie trying to put him through hell to get him to lose the title. Then you would have Triple H come back and he would say that, you know, since nobody on Raw could take the title from Rollins, he's entitled to his rematch because he lost the title to Roman Reigns but never got his rematch. So he could say, I'm still entitled to my title rematch, you know, in my contract. He can beat Rollins, looks like I'm going to have to do it myself. And there you have Triple H and Rollins. Right there. And then you have Rollins retain the title to make it even bigger for him, to push him even more. Because I think that would make Rollins bigger rather than having Rollins chase the title and then just beat, say, like Triple H for it if he would have it, for example. What would make Rollins bigger is You have him keep beating everybody on the Raw roster to where Triple H steps in. He steps in and Rollins still wins. That puts Rollins over as, you know, the biggest baby face of this generation right here. So, I mean, that's what I would do. Dream booking. That's how I would build it up. You got a rivalry match with Jericho and Owens when Jericho could get his suspension lifted. You got Triple H and Rollins, you know, in an all-out war that they could have. And, you know, whatever else you could throw together for WrestleMania. But, I mean, that's what I would do in a heartbeat. I don't know how you feel about it, but that's where I would go.
Oh, I definitely like that.
But, you know, considering where I would go and what I believe is going to happen, though, is two different things. Like what I all told you before with Owens winning is what I believe is going to happen because you're just looking at an out-of-touch product. You are not looking at a product, at a man in Vince McMahon that is, you know, in touch with the product and in touch with himself. Vince McMahon is disconnected. Even though he's a workaholic and works for the WWE and does all this stuff for the WWE, you know, around the clock in his office, Vince is so disconnected with all of us and so disconnected with the product of professional wrestling right now, it isn't even funny. And that's where all this is coming in. It's that big disconnect with Vince McMahon. That's how I feel.
All right, man. So all in all, how do you think it's going to be?
Well, if I had to say, does WWE have a potential? All right, I'll tell you what, you know, their potential could live up to, but I'm going to tell you what I think it could be. They have a potential to put on a 10 out of 10 show. You know, like they do every time they have a pay-per-view. But that would require 3 knockout Hell in a Cell matches. I'm talking like you could have. And it would require the undercard matches to be solid. And just by the way the product has been booked, I don't see it, you know? I don't see it. I see something that's really going to lack the title match as far as the women's title match with Cell probably not even coming into play. I just see something that is going to lack so many things and people are going to be like, wow, I thought it was going to be like this, but you know, this is it. And you know, you take that potential of a 10 out of 10. And, you know, you really dissect this and you pick it apart to think of what you're really going to get. But to be honest, I think you're just going to get average. You're going to get, you're basically going to get a Monday Night Raw. You're basically going to get a Monday Night Raw show with just a gimmick name slapped over top of it. I think you're just going to get something very average and that's probably going to give you, you know, maybe a couple hours of boredom, like two boring hours out of 3, maybe. I think it's going to be a straight up 5 out of 10. I think it's going to be average. They proved my thought process wrong, but I think it's going to be something that's just going to give us average. Even though we're on the brink of history where everything can be special tomorrow night, you could have all this, you know, just incredible history to talk about. Talk about how the women made history. Talk about how good this match was and this match was. I think they're going to find a way to strip that all away and make all of us fans say that, hey, you know, we had all this history in the bag, but really all we got was just the same old average WWE show with a Hell in a Cell gimmick on it. And that's why I predict 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, with a stronger undercard, I would be more generous, but they're just not with it. I mean, they need to spice it up, man. I don't know. Same old, same old. I'm going to go and say it could be a 7. It has a potential to be a 10. 10 seal of approval, absolutely. It has more than that potential, but I'll stick with a safe old 7.
Yeah, I'm with, you know, I'm with you, except my number goes lower. Like, it has that chance to be the 10 out of 10 seal of approval in every sense of the words, but I just think it's going to be your average 5 out of 10, split right down the middle. And one of the reasons why the number goes so low is because you already hear my skepticisms about the main events. Events where there should be no skepticisms. But also, there is not one undercard match that I can look at and tell you guys here, listening right now, to where, oh, this undercard match is going to be pretty good. I can't. Maybe TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick, but that is it. That's it. Maybe TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick, but even that's a big if. I mean, the undercard, what they put together for it, they, you know what, it's really going to show. They're going to show their huge weakness by what they did, and that was a big, big mistake. Big mistake.
So we'll see how it goes tomorrow night, man. Mischief night, Hell in a Cell. WWE going to be up to some mischief, getting ready for Halloween Monday Night Raw. We'll find out tomorrow night where history is made.
Yes, and don't forget Halloween Monday Night Raw. Sean and I are having a special podcast. Episode number 27 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast Monday night. And then probably back to our regularly scheduled podcast on, who knows, maybe Thursday or next Saturday, somewhere around there. And then Tuesday, November 8th, special election coverage podcast. Will WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump end up being elected president into the White House? I sure hope so. We'll be there to cover that. So a huge week, Sean, for the podcast coming up, and it all started a couple short days ago on your birthday with Sean Maluda, and you know, now coming through on Hell in a Cell predictions, the podcast is up for some big things this week.
Damn right.
So it's getting better and better, but I hope all of you will enjoy Hell in a Cell tomorrow night. I mean, I hope we will too. You know, it's gonna be something, guys. Sean, do you have any last words that you want to say about the show before we close the book on episode 26?
I do not. Let's go. Aside from Let's Go Rollins, I mean, you know, grade that, you know, just destroy Owens and let's get to it.
That would be awesome. I'm all for it, and I hope, you know, we could see it like Sean just spoke of. Hopefully we could see Rollins get that big win, but, you know, we'll see what WWE does. Anyway, guys, this has been episode number 26. Thank you for watching and tuning in tonight. And we'll see you Monday night for episode number 27 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. If I feel up to it after Hell in a Cell tomorrow night, I might do just a short results. And then Sean and I will really pick it apart on Monday night for the podcast. I'm not sure yet. I'm just throwing it out there. But if you don't see me tomorrow night after Hell in a Cell, then you'll see me and Sean Monday night for episode 27. But to close out episode, by the way, episode number 27 is going to be Halloween Raw special podcast. But to close out episode number 26, Sean, what do we got to do to close out episode 26?
EC3.
Yes, sir. There you heard it. Just like we do on every podcast, Mr. EC3, the two-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, always sends us on home into the sunset. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, I appreciate you watching. Don't forget to leave those. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to leave those likes and leave those comments and let us know what your predictions are for Hell in a Cell. And if you're listening on iTunes and Podomatic, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star rating. Also check out www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com. So this has been, Big T and Sean reporting tonight, Hell in a Cell preview and predictions. This has been episode number 26 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. We'll be back for episode number 27 on Monday night during Raw, Halloween Raw. So this is Halloween weekend. We'll see you Monday on Halloween. Hope you guys enjoy Hell in a Cell tomorrow night. And let's hope for the best. Let's keep our fingers crossed. But anyway, guys, until next time, until Monday, this has been episode number 26, and let's move on to EC3 to close out the show right here and right now. So let me get the screen share up here. All right, there we go. We're going to end the show right here, right now with Mr. EC3. So take care, guys. You have a great night. Stay safe and enjoy Hell in a Cell tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.
Well, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.